Hello, brothers and sisters, it's Jonathan, and hope you're having a good week. I don't know if you guys are keeping up with the news, the tornadoes that hit Nashville, Tennessee, you guys be in prayer for those folks. You know, when that tragedy hits the area. And I think when I last looked at it, they had 19 dead. So, just be in prayer for the families that are dealing with that. And it can be I know down here in Louisiana, we have our fair share of hurricanes and tornadoes. And so, just be in prayer for those people and the things they'll have to go through dealing with the death of their loved ones and rebuilding. This is part two of the Lord's Prayer of Matthew 6 through 8 to 13 is what we're going over. And this is considered the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing wrong calling it the Lord's Prayer. That's where it's probably most familiar or called in most churches, which is fine. As a child, I remember learning the Lord's Prayer and not really understanding the words within the context. As a child, you really don't grasp the power of prayer. You know there's something there, but you have to experience life a little bit and things in life to realize that prayer is very powerful. And this particular prayer was driven because disciples seen Jesus praying daily, and that when he prayed, things happened. And we were able to talk about that first part of that prayer. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read it. And I'll have a prayer. And then I'm just going to do a recap on what we talked about last week. And we'll see how far we can get into this beautiful prayer that Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray. And the verse, Matthew 6. We'll start at verse 8 and we'll work our way down to 13. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father know what things ye have need of before you ask him. And after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Heavenly Father, as we come today, just laying our hearts at the cross, just feeling the weight of our brothers and sisters in Nashville that have experienced loss. We pray, Lord, that you just be with them in their time of need, that whoever's around them, Lord, you get the help they need, the comfort they need in their time of trials, Lord, that you just give them the hope when it feels like it's hopeless, as they're being relocated and coming back and having to rebuild their homes. We pray for them, Lord. We pray that you be within them in that time. God, we pray, Lord, that you just today, that you have your way, that the words that you speak through your scripture as your humble messenger here, just have your way with me. Let my words be your words. I don't want to speak from my own knowledge. I want the Holy Spirit that's inside me to speak, to give me knowledge as I preach, Lord, to be that humble vessel that you can use, Lord, this humble vessel that the Holy Spirit can use, and that I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God, and it's only through your mercy and grace and the Holy Spirit running through my veins that I can give the word of God to whoever may hear it. Lord, I pray over this nation, Lord, in this time of turmoil. I pray over the election and all the hate and all the evil that is spit out, this wickedness that is abounding more than righteousness. Rise up the righteous people of God that will stand by You're the Word of God that will not falter, that will live their life beyond the four walls of church, and they will truly be that light as they were in the Old and the New Testament, the beginning of the church. The church is hidden. They hide within the four walls, and they don't go out there and they don't proclaim the gospel. When we proclaim the gospel truly, when we live our life as Jesus, we will see a revival, a true revival. Not these little revivals that are masked as revival, a true awakening of the church that as the apostles did, they said, who give us these guys who turn the world upside down? They're turning the world upside down. I don't see the church turning anything upside down. I pray, Lord, you bring people in that will do that, Lord. And we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. As we look here at verse 8, be not ye therefore like them, for your Father know what things ye need of before. He's speaking a few verses up, and he's speaking about the Pharisees and Sadducees and how they prayed, how their words were just for show. The repetition was to show their pride and say, look at me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. But the disciples seen Jesus, and they knew he wasn't all about that. They knew there was something different way he prayed. And they say, teach us how to pray like you pray, Jesus. And the first part of that prayer, if you go to verse 9, is, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We talked about that in the first part of this preaching series. You can go back and review that. My throat was really bothering me that day, my sinuses, so I'll forgive me where I might have stumbled in proclaiming the gospel. But I want to tell you, we should always approach our Father. We need to understand that he's a Father and he loves us. He wants to be an Abba Father close to us. But we also have to know that he's a holy and righteous God. And that when we approach him, we should have reverence in our heart and fear. That's reverence of him. The church have lost that reverence. We leave church and we leave everything that the preachers told us, or during the Bible study. If you make it to the Bible study, you might want to sleep in that day, because the Bible study in your mind may not be that important, but it's very important. And you go the rest of the week, and it doesn't look like there's been any change. Like, you haven't, the word during that Sunday is supposed to lift you up. It's supposed to encourage you to go out there and to proclaim the gospel. You should at least be talking to one or two people a day about Jesus. And if you're not, there's something wrong with your spiritual life. Well, we serve a holy God. Hallowed is the holy to be his name, to holy his name out. And I spoke of several ways we can do this. I like to praise and worship. I have a hymn book by my bed, or by my prayer area. And also I have listened to music, you know, first 2-3 minutes or more, depending on how much holy you get. You got to get your mind right. You got to get your mind centered on Jesus when you pray. You can't be thinking about everything else in the world. You have to get your mind into that praise and worship. If you look at the church, most churches start their services, the ones I've been at, you know, is praise and worship. And that's to get your mind ready for and to realize we're sitting here, we're praise God for and worship God for 30 minutes. Now we're ready for the word, the bread of life, to be presented to us. And that's where the preacher comes in. Both are very important. One shouldn't outshadow the other. There should be an equal proportion there. Well, you'll see in some churches they'll have more worship and they'll limit the preacher. This ain't correct. This ain't correct how the church is supposed to go. The worship should be half and the preaching should be half. It's just in good taste. So if you're going to praise and worship 40 minutes, you should give the preacher 40 minutes to preach his sermon. Not be looking at your watch and after you've been... That tells me all that praise and worship didn't do you no good. You might as well just stayed home. Because if you're not focused on God and wanting to hear the word of God, and you're eager to leave after praise and worship, your mind ain't right. The word of God follows the praise and worship, and that's what we're doing here. We're getting our mind focused on the praise and worship. And we move on to verse 10. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come. You know, as we're walking this earth, we can carry this thing, this one thing in our heart, that is, that when you're a child of God, you are a child of God. You have a piece of heaven living inside you. Yes, we will have trials and tribulations throughout our lives, and this is just a very small sacrifice for what will be coming for us after we finish our life. Now, like, look at Revelations 21:4. That's Revelations 21:4, and God tells us, "And God shall wipe away all tears from thy eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the father of things are passed away." He's speaking of heaven here. You know, when Jesus comes back, if it's, and I believe we'll see it in this generation, him splitting that eastern sky and coming back for his children, I believe most people, that if they live their natural life, they will see Jesus again. This could be bad and this could be good, depending if you're a child of God or if you're a child of Satan. But if you're a child of God, there's things, there's a hope that we can cling to. And our kingdom of God, and what he has prepared for us, our imagination can't even imagine. Now, there's a song by Mercy Me that was very popular and still is. Can you only imagine? I can't imagine. And of course, they did a movie, and the movie was really heartwarming, and you know, of his story. If you only could imagine what Jesus has for us, you can imagine, but then it goes beyond your imagination. You see, this earth is cursed. Satan, this is Satan's kingdom right now. Because of the curse, this earth is cursed. Yes, God created this world. But the enemy, and we know that by looking when Jesus is being tempted and Satan shows him the kingdom. He's like, "I'll give you all this. This is his world. And we're not part of this world. We are part of the kingdom of God, and we can carry that." And this also, we're talking about in Revelations 21:4, we're looking forward to the hope of the true kingdom coming down on this earth. That is Jesus Christ coming back for his children, for the church during the rapture, right? And when his kingdom is established, there would be no more killing of our babies at the altar of convenience. There would be no more broken homes, children left fatherless or motherless, no more children going hungry, no more homeless, no more of these false preachers, teachers, evangelists teaching doctrine contrary to the gospel, telling you there's many ways to get to Jesus, that we're living together before marriage is okay, that sinning your life is okay, and you should not repent, that a loving God will not send you to hell, or hell does not exist, or there's many ways to Jesus. I want to tell you, hell does exist. It's real as heaven. And nobody has to go to hell. Nobody. It's through the sacrifice, God sending his son to die on that cross. And as Easter is rolling around, that's a remembrancing of the cross and the resurrection. We take time to realize that God had to send a son down here to die. It was prophesied in the Old Testament many times, pointing to a Savior that would have to come to save this world, and that we don't have to offer sin offerings or wave offerings. we can come right now where we're at and say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am, Jesus. I lay my life at your feet. I recognize the cross and what happened, that the blood was shed, and without the blood there would be no remission of sin. No remission of sin. And I lay myself at your feet. I humble myself at your feet. And I recognize you didn't stay on that cross and that you rose that third day. And because you rose, you were restored. And because you were restored, you went to heaven. And you say you're preparing me a place. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes within your life. It's being born again. And your life is different. This means you are regenerated. You're no longer the old. It hurts my heart to see these professing Christians out there that are living their old lives and claiming to be something they're not. They might well enjoy their hell on this earth. Because a unregenerated Christian is not a child of God. Old must pass, new must come. We will have struggles, yes, but our state of mind shouldn't be okay. It should always leave us repentance of our sin, because this world is sinful. We are sinful, and when we sin, it tears us. That sin should tear our hearts up, like David. If you will, some of David's songs, when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet with his sin with Bathsheba, if you just listen to some of his songs and how he was torn of his sin. Psalms 51, this is how we should feel when we are confronted with our sin. This is the Psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet comes unto him after he has gone into Bathsheba. Verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee, O, only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when I speak, and be clear when thou judgest. When thou judgest, behold, I was sharpened in iniquity, and in the sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thy desire truth in the inward parts, in the hidden parts, and thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which I have broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgression thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltlessness. O God, thy God, O my salvation, my tongue shall sing out loud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thy lips, and my mouth shall shoot forth my praises. For thy desire not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thy delight not in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thy will not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, built unto the walls of Jerusalem. Thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. That shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Do you think David was grieved? And when you mess up, you should be grieved exactly like David. And if a preacher tells you otherwise, evangelist tells you otherwise, they got issues. They're teaching something different. Sin should grieve our hearts. Davis here, verse 10, create in me a clean heart. He didn't want his heart. He wanted Jesus' heart. He said, renew a right spirit within me. And then you go to verse 17, a broken spirit. A broken spirit. You see, God can't use somebody that thinks he knows it all. He uses the broken. And when we recognize our sin and how sinful we are and that we needed the Jesus in our life and that everything that's old is now new and we are a new creature in Christ and now the fruit singular of the Holy Spirit should be manifesting throughout our life. I see a bunch of brothers, and I'll call them brothers and sisters being nice, but pressing Christians that don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit and they're claiming something they're not. And then we go to verse Matthew 7 and say, judge lest ye be judged. No, we're misquoting scripture and we will be judged on that. We will be judged. Don't think we are not going. Well, we got many professing Christians out there that think they're not going, they're going to escape a form of judgment of God. No, we will be held accountable for every action that we have taken on this earth. It's the judgment seat. That's separate from the great white throne judgment. That's that accountability conversation. Where we'll have accountability conversation. It won't affect our salvation. Because God is holy. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He is a holy and righteous God. Amen. And you look at thy kingdom come. And then you go to the other part. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will. You really look at thy will, right? That is God's will, right? With everything we do on this earth, we need to make sure we are in God's will, not our own. I came across this quote. It says, Lord, whatever you want, whenever you want it, whatever you want it, that's what I want. That should be our battle cry. Lord, wherever you want, whenever you want it, and whatever you want it, that's what I want. I don't want nothing that I want. I want your will with my life. In other words, pray first, then plan afterwards. Amazing how we can get that backwards, right? We want to make our plans. And then when they fall apart, then we won't pray. Here's a thought. Why don't we pray first? Why don't we put our plans in front of God and say, is this your will for my life? Should I take this job? Should I move into this apartment? We should be praying more. But we won't step up. I was thinking of Mark 4, 38, 40. You know, when the disciples were in that boat and the storm came and this storm was brutal. You know, they were looking all around and they looked down and they seen Jesus and he was asleep, right? He wasn't worried about it. And this kind of blew their minds and they started fearing. And I will tell you, the spirit of fear, which is just of the devil. And they woke him up and they told him, do you care for that we may die? And Jesus looked at them. He looked at them. He rebuked them for their lack of faith. If Jesus came back today and he looked at the church, he will rebuke us for our lack of faith. For not putting it in his hands first. If Jesus came back and you didn't know it was Jesus, and he walked into a church and he said what I just said, the first phrase that will run in there, don't judge me. Only God can judge me. The spiritual state of the church is wounded. The devil found working within the four walls is better than working outside the four walls by placing men in positions they should not be in. They are not men of God. I don't care if they have a seminary education. Most seminary schools today are liberal. Most seminary educations don't make you a man of God. It makes you a man of learning. And I want to tell you, we could go to learning as much as we want to. We don't know anything unless we have the Holy Spirit teaching us daily. And don't get me wrong, I love studying. I love learning. I've took a few classes. But this should not be the primary, our primary set. Oh, do you have a seminary degree? No, you should say, are you a man of God? And what does that mean as you being a man of God? And explain that to me. And if they're like, oh, I got a seminary degree. Okay. Oh, you're good. Like, come in our church and they'll proclaim a false doctrine and we'll cling to it. And we'll go to hell right along with you. I want to tell you, we need to pray first, then plan after. The closer we get to Jesus, even though through all the pain and sorrow that we'll experience in this life, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we'll realize it's all worth it. You know, in my life, I've been taught quite a few hard lessons that could have been avoided if I would just give my situation or situations that problems or problems to Jesus through prayer. You know, and what I want to get the point I want to get across through these few lines of scripture is Jesus gave his disciples this prayer. I'm just going to go over the two verses here. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. He wants to get close to us. And he wants our minds to be focused on him and for his will to be done within our lives and that we grasp onto it and we run with it. When the storms come, and they will, and you will have to, and some of us have already experienced tough times, and some will experience more tough times. Remember, you're not alone. Prayer is very important to cling to Jesus, even through the valleys. Well, very important through the valleys. Even when you're on the mount, we should praise and worship him all through our lives. Pray without ceasing, right? Not let the enemy tell you or lie to you. That's his thing. He wants to create a spirit of fear. You're not alone. You haven't had to endure these trials alone. Especially if you're a child of God. Because our hope is different. Our hope is Jesus. He is our anchor within the storm. Our life saver. Life saving. When water's rising so high you just do not know what to do. You'll be okay. Jesus is in the boat. Give it to him through prayer. Through prayer. The first thing in prayer is our Father which art in heaven. We recognize our Father. We recognize he's holy. We realize that when we're children, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And because of that, our desires and our thoughts should be focused on Jesus and that his will is the most important for each and every one of our lives and that he has a better place for us and this place is not our home. I'll stop there, guys. And that was verse 10. So we went through 9 and 10 here. Next one will be give us day our daily bread and then we'll work our way down. Once again, I don't want to rush through these scriptures. It's very important. If anybody wants to send me a private message through my website or what in more about salvation, I have done several sermons on salvation. We'll do a lot more on salvation. It's one of my favorite topic because it's beautiful. If you guys would bow with me, we'll have a few minutes of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, just thanking you for this opportunity to that you gave me the voice to speak the word that you've laid on my heart, Lord. Thank you for that. And whoever may be out there to hear, if it's just one person, it doesn't matter. You laid this on my heart to give to whoever needs to hear it. Whoever needs to hear it, Lord. If it's just one person, it doesn't even matter. your will be done regardless. I'm just a humble vessel. I pray, Lord, just be with the people in Nashville, Lord, during their times of sorrow and pain and their loss. And God, that we pray that you just be with them, because this is such a devastating thing. That you just bring true people of God to reach out their hands and feet, their hands, I mean, and their feet to go there and to do what they have to do to lift the ones that are hurting, and then even possibly speak of salvation to whoever that may need to hear it in that time, that things will happen and life will be rough and this only lasts temporarily, and what God has planned for us is beyond our imagination. You tell us, Jesus. You tell us. Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. We pray, Lord, that you just be with whoever's listening to this for the rest of the week, Lord, that you be with them, you guide them, you direct them to wherever you need to be, Lord. If it's salvation, or is it to realize that their relationship with you is damaged. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you send somebody over there to talk to them, or this message reaches them and it shakes them, or they reach out to me, Lord. I pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.